And now on BBC Radio 4, it's time once again to join the show business legend, raconteur, after-dinner speaker and award-winning pylon spotter for the West Yorkshire Pylon Spotters Association 1968 to 1969, Count Arthur Strong. In a pylon spotting career spanning, to use his own words, I don't know how long, Count Arthur has only been electrocuted 14 times and never been hospitalised. Join him now for this week's instalment of
Count Arthur Strong's radio show.
Morning, Arthur.
Jerry.
You all ready for the big night, then?
Oh, yes, Jerry. It's evenings like tonight that I was put on the planet for. To present the debut performance of my musical showcase of my life story of mine I've had is the stuff of dreams. Hey, has Ronnie been in yet?
No, not yet. Is he doing the music?
Yes, well, if you can call it doing. He likes to think of himself as the decomposer. But you know, I la-la'd all the tunes to him in the first place. So all he had to do was remember that and then do all the music to it. No, it's a good point, is that, actually, Jerry? Because I'm not having him getting all the royalties when we go into the West End. We'll have to come up with a way around that, because by rights, those disloyalties are mine.
Are you having a tea?
Oh, no, I'm full of tea. I'd better have something plain. Double egg on toast with another egg twice. I'm doing an interview on the community radio this afternoon as part of my publicity junket for my show. I don't want my dinner repeating on me all the way through it. There's enough repeats on the radio as it is. Mind you, it's not as though anyone can see you. I mean, I can always blame it on someone else, can't I? Oh, go on then. I'll have the lamb.
Lamb it is then.
Oh, here he is.
Hello, Arthur.
When you've got your drink or whatever it is you're having, Ronnie, come and sit down. There are one or two things we need to discuss regarding and pertaining to and to do with this evening's performance.
All right.
Oh, blimey, Sally, I didn't see you there lurking round the corner. Are you hiding from someone?
No, I'm just having a quiet moment.
Well, have you nearly finished having one? I'd like to use this table for a meeting.
What about?
Only about the next Billy Idiot, Sally. The bloody idiot. Well, Billy bloody Elliot, the idiot.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about my musical.
Oh, that.
No need to sound so enthusiastical. All the big musicals are raking it in the West Bank. There's big money in musicals. Ice creams at the interval, T-shirts, that pink stuff on a stick, dental floss. And on top of that with Mears. People have always had an fascination about my life, so that makes me a bit of a banker.
All right then, Sally.
Hello, Ronnie. Have you found a job yet?
No.
What are you talking about, no? You're my musical dictator.
Well, yeah, but you're not paying me anything.
Wash your mouth out. I'm investing in your talent, and that's better than money. You can't put a price on the platform I'm giving you. In 10 years' time, you could be the next Gilbert and or Sullivan. Now then, look at the hit records he had. That song about... Was it an eclair? Anyway, you got a few quid out of it, don't you worry. In a few years, you could be living in tax seclusion on the Isle of Dogs because of me.
It's not regular work, though, is it?
What are you talking about, not regular work? It's all I've done all my life. And look at me now. This evening, I will be suitcasing the most salient and poignant moments of my life so far. Then I will be asking the specially invited audience of investors how much money they want to put in. Well, I'll be fighting them off with a broken bottle. Oh, yes. Now, can I please have my musical meeting with my funeral director? Now, Ronnie, have you extended my music for the opening number? Because when we ran through that last night, I still had an awful lot of the words left over.
All right, then, I'll bung another verse on if you want.
Jazz it up a bit while I do the mood change. And if there's any words still left over to be sung when you finish the music, there's only one of us up there that will feel foolish. And it's not the one who's saying this to you now. No, it's the other one of us. The not me one.
Is it me?
No, not you. The one he's looking at. As I'm saying this to him, to you. I'm saying this to the person who will feel foolish. The one of us here that isn't me, for crying out loud. Don't look like that. You know perfectly well who I'm talking about.
Here we are. One lamb, six eggs.
Thank you, Gerald. Now, if it's not too much trouble, do you think the other one of us that isn't me could pass the salt and pepper, please?
What, me?
No, you bloody idiot. Oh, I'll get it myself. This can't be right, can it? This doesn't look like I think a radio station looks like. Leans more towards how I think a bungalow might look like. You'd have thought at the very least that they've had a big radio mast in the garden.
Hello.
Hello.
All the newspapers are already in the recycling bin.
What?
You're not recycling?
No, no. I haven't used my bike for years. I came on the bus. What's it got to do with you, how I got here? Anyway, oh, is it expenses? Travelling expenses? Because I've just remembered it was a taxi, not a bus. I went somewhere on a bus another day. That will be why you're so confused.
Who are you?
You're talking about who am I? I've come to be on the show.
What show?
I don't know what it's called.
Where do you think you are?
I think I'm here, right in front of you. Hello, it's me. Is there something up with you?
Address. What address do you think you're at?
77 Mead Close.
This isn't Mead Close.
It is.
No, it's not. Mead Close is the main road at the bottom.
Is it? Well, I don't know how that's happened. Anyway, you're definitely number 77, aren't you? Hey, so I've got you on that one, clever clogs.
75. 77's next door.
Oh, how very convenient. Right, well, anyway, I haven't got time for all this, even if you have.
Ah, you're here. Come in. We were getting a bit worried about you.
Well, it's not my fault. It's your address of your radio station that's deceptive.
What do you mean?
Well, if you get it wrong, you end up at a silly woman's round the corner asking you about cycling. You want to make sure people are aware of that, or at the very least, that the woman knows about it. She was very off with me.
Okay, well, I'm Sophie, and it's my husband John that will be interviewing you. He's just finishing up with someone who's organised the petition about the airport.
Oh, I signed that. I can't remember whether it was for it or against it now. But I felt very strongly about coming down on one side or the other. Yeah.
Well, it looks as though they've finished. Shall we go in?
Lead the way, Sophie.
Ah, you must be Count Arthur.
Oh, must I? Oh, go on then, I will be him. Oh dear, take no notice, John. I'm only joking, to put you at your ease. Break the icicles, elsewhere.
Shouldn't it be me doing that?
Well, yes, you should really, shouldn't you? If you think about it. You shouldn't be relying on me to do it. I won't always be here to break your testicles for you.
No, well, if you'd like to sit down there, we'll just adjust the microphone and then I'll fade the music out and we'll be on. OK, that should do it. Could you just quickly say something for levels?
Hello.
A little bit more than that.
Well, you said do it quickly. You want to think before you ask someone to do something.
That's fine. And that was Blue Mink flying the banner with the Bannerman. Now it's time for this afternoon's special guest, who's doing a rather interesting performance this evening at St. Aidan's Church Hall. Welcome, Count Arthur Strong.
Hello, everybody. Count Arthur Strong here. Can you hear me? Marvellous.
Yes. Well, tell us a little bit, if you will, about this evening's performance. It's a musical, isn't it? Penned by yourself.
Well, if I can just correct you there, John, because it's not penned. I did it all on the typewriter, which is what I always use.
Well, that's sort of what I meant.
Well, if you don't mind me saying, it's better to say what you do mean rather than what you sort of mean. In my profession, things are always being misquoted. Then it all gets out of hand. If I hadn't corrected you then, that story could have snowballed. Yeah? You know, one person tells Mrs. Healy, then she tells anyone that will bloody listen to her. Then before you know it, people have been going round saying I've been smashing up bush shelters up or climbing a tree in my pyjamas. And that definitely wasn't me in the pyjamas. I was nowhere near those sycamore trees, from what I recall. And it's very doubtful I would stand up in court.
Well, so tell us a little bit about your show.
Well, John, as I was saying out there to Sofa, it's really...
Sorry, to who?
Sofa, your wife. Blimey, don't tell me you forgot you've got a wife. Dear, oh dear.
Yeah. I think Count Arthur's pulling our legs a bit this afternoon.
No, I'm not.
So, if I could steer you back to your musical?
Well, John, as I was saying, my wonderful musical I have been nutcasing tonight really is a personal tribute to myself, which, incidentally, I must just say, I'm very touched about. Very touched.
So, you've written a tribute to yourself?
Who better? Because no one knows me like I do. You could say I am the man on the inside of myself with my fingers on my own pulses, like the back of my hands.
Now, it's not all fun this evening, is it? Because there is a business element to tonight, isn't there?
That's right, John. I am extending to ordinary members of the public the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to become one of Count Arthur Strong's angels. That's right, everybody. I'm delighted to announce, due to public demand, I will be selling a limited number of stocks and shares in my soon-to-be smash-hit EastEnders musical of my life story set to music.
So what do investors get out of it? What's in it for them?
Oh, all sorts of things. You wouldn't believe it.
Like what?
Don't worry about that side of it. It's all underhand.
Yeah, but if anyone's going to invest, they'll want to know what they're going to get back, won't they?
Oh, they'll get plenty back, all right.
Like what?
Well, I don't know, do I? You're putting me on the spot now. What do you think you're on? It's not sodden Money Box Live, you know, is it?
Well, no, but people
or,
have a right...
Or are you one of these shock jock straps, eh? I was reading about... Your job is to report the facts as I tell them.
Right, well, thank you very much for coming in. Count Arthur Strong, everybody. Now over to a man who sold the world, David Bowie. We passed up on the
stairs. Poom, 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 poom. My dog has knees. Poom, 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 poom.
Hello, Arthur.
Oh, Geoffrey, there you are. Hang on, where is it? Oh, here it is. Get that for me, will you?
What is it?
It's my rider for the show.
Oh, what's a rider?
Oh, dear, you know, the world's end can't come soon enough for me. It's a list of my desired requirements that the management have to pander to ease my passage and make me more comfortable.
Cocktail cabinet?
Yes.
Where am I going to get a cocktail cabinet from?
Listen, as caretaker and representative of the management, you should have been in contact weeks ago about all this I need. Should all be laid out ready for me with grapes and everything. Monorail towels with my initials on.
A Fortnum and Mason's hamper?
Yes. And you should be grateful I've kept it to a minimum. There's this American singer I was reading about called, Beyond Me, eh? Who had them paint the dressing room pink. She wanted a fish tank big enough to swim in with a dolphin in it, a big cake shaped like the Eiffel Tower, a full-size ice sculpture of a horse, and 80 pork pies. I've not asked for one-tenth of what she had.
But I can't get all these things on this list.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'll need some money.
For goodness sake, Geoffrey, you'll get it back after the show out of my winnings. Investment. The investment. All this will come out of the budget for the big end. Scrag end of the Westlife. See? It's all tax-destructible, isn't it? Oh, look, just get whatever you think you can manage on that list, will you? But the vintage port is a must-have. I can't possibly sing without having drunk a medicinal bottle of port. A glass of port. This bass castrato baritone of mine I've been blessed with needs careful oiling and greasing. My voice is my fortune. I'm just like one of the 10 threers in that respect.
10 threers?
No, the 3 tenors, you idiot. 10 threes are 30. That's how you remember it. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to get into my dressing gown and have my pre-show nap. You can wake me at 6 o'clock. Go on then, clear off.
Arthur? Arthur!
Well, get off that, it's my orange. I'll knock your block off. What are you doing?
You told me to wake you at 6.
And did you?
I'm doing it now.
Good, good. Well done, Geoffrey. There's hope for you yet.
I've got some of the things on the list, but I couldn't get any fresh figs, green emulsion paint and a Venus flytrap or a fridge.
Did you get the steak and kidney from Wilf?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you idiot. That's what the fridge was for. That's for tomorrow's dinner, is that steak and kidney? How am I going to keep that fresh now? Take it back. Did you get the port?
Yes.
Right, let's have it here. We'll have the neck off that while I do my makeup. Where's Ronnie?
He's over there on the stage, sat behind the organ.
Right, I'll go and have a word with him before we start. I don't want any cocks up tonight. Ronnie, are you all set? Everything set up?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Listen, book your ideas up, you. Do you know what a wonderful opportunity this is for you? You know, if the right person's in the audience, you might get your job back at Matalan's.
Arthur. Arthur, we're ready.
Right. Well, who's going to introduce me? We've got nobody introducing me. Nobody's thought about that, have they? I have to think for everybody, including me. Ronnie, you'll have to do it.
What do you want me to say?
Let's think. What's a good introduction?
How about, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ken Dodd.
Don't be stupid. I think it's about time you started taking all this a little bit more seriously. You get one shot at the big time, Ronnie, unless you're me. Now, say this. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, star of stage and screen, your host for the evening, Ken Dodd. No, no, you bloody idiot. It's your fault, is that? I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't started it. Host for the evening, Count Arthur Strong. Right, now, get out in front of that curtain and do it while I lubricate my larynxes.
Hello. I'm looking for a job, if anybody knows of one.
What's he saying? What are you saying?
Anyway, here he is, your host for the evening, star of Rage and Scream, Count Arthur Strong.
My fair lady, Oliver, the King and I, cats, chess, Miss Sinon, Annie, get your coat. Liz, Miss, Miss Liz, or Fancy calling a show that, bunch of idiots. Since the very first caveman howled at the moon and blew on his flute, all those millions of years ago, man has always had the urge to put on musicals in the West End. It's what disenfranchises us from the animals. And I have... Oh, that and using the toilet properly. Not just going where you stood up. And eating with a knife and fork, of course, that is another one. Although I have seen a monkey doing that. Now I come to think of it. Do you know, I think it was Sophocles who once said to me, if the eye is the organ of sensation, then the ear is what it is you listen to with when you're hearing something through it. Unless you're deaf, of course. Then you're on your own. And tonight, everybody, I celebrate that wonderful theatrical genre that is the musical. Now, you'll have all seen my successful disappearance on the radio this afternoon. I believe it was Cricket's Choice somewhere. So you'll know I'm out to pick your pockets after this wonderful musical showcase. Now, this first bit before I perform my song is on the tape recorder. I got the Concord players to do the parts, which I must say a big thank you to. They did a marvellous, marvellous job. What I would say, though, is, when you hear it, is imagine someone a lot better than them doing it. just one more thing. I've had a bucket put on the front of the stage, so if during the show anyone wants to cough anything up, that's the place to do it. So, without further ado, it's off with the show. Pass me that bottle of port, you.
Shall I switch it on?
Yes, you nitwit.
It's a boy, Mrs. Strong, a strapping baby boy.
A boy? My baby is a boy. I shall call you Arthur, just like your pa. Oh, if only he hadn't been away for the last 3 years fighting in the war. I can't wait to see his face when he sees you, little Arthur.
Mama!
He can talk! He can talk! Did you hear that? He's such a precociously talented little boy, Doctor. What will he go on to be?
Well, based on what I know of the little fellow, I got a feeling he's going to achieve great things, Mrs. Strong. He has the look of an all-round entertainer, if you ask my opinion. And I've seen some kids in my time.
Do you think so? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he had the career I could never have on account of my dying giving birth to him?
I'm afraid she's gone to heaven, Arthur. You're going to have to be a brave boy now. Come, come, no more tears. Arrangements have been made for you to go and live with your Aunt Phyllis in Doncaster in the South Riding of Yorkshire.
Doncaster? But I ain't never heard of Doncaster. Tell me what to do, Ma.
Follow your dream, Arthur. Follow your dream. And if you ever need me, just sing a song about me after the interval. Don't forget, Arthur. Follow your dream. Follow your dream. Your dream. Your dream. Your dream.
Goodbye, Ma. I'll make you proud of me. I promise. Doncaster, a small talented child in Doncaster, afraid and alone. in Doncaster. Laughed at because of the posh way I talk. In Doncaster. At the house of my Auntie Irene. In Doncaster. Please don't make me eat tripe, Auntie Irene. I promise I'll be good. And then, like a flower that blooms in the garden, I bend in the breeze that blows through the trees. In Doncaster, a man can walk tall. In Doncaster, your worries are small. In Doncaster, in Doncaster, in Doncaster.
What's it playing? It's not a tune, is it? If I could go... That's not the tune! Oh, Auntie Irene! What? I could go... What are you playing, you idiot? Oh, my Auntie Irene! If I could just sing a bloody note at some point! Stop it! Stop it! Stop doing that! Stop it now, or I won't take you to the East End. I'll get a proper orchestra. Do you think you're playing that? It's a ridiculous tune, is that? There's nowhere for me to come back in it. I'm sorry about that, everyone. It will be better than that when we're at the London Palindrome. Planetarium. Oh, aquarium. I can guarantee you that. I won't have that half-wit for a start.
Right, I'm off. There's only three people here anyway, and one of them's Geoffrey.
Oh, all right, then. Off you go. That's right. Bail out. Dear, oh, dear. I must apologise to you, everybody. Oh, anyway, you get the gist of it, don't you, the show? Ooh, has someone put something in the bucket? Oh, thank you very much, everybody. Let's have a see. Might be a few quid. Might get a drink out of it. You never know. Oh, for goodness sake. Who's done that in there? It's not a sodding spittoon. That's a money bucket, is that? Right, you've had your chance and you blew it. Hang on, Ronnie, I'm coming with you. There are a bunch of Frankensteins in here. I'm better off without the two of them. Here, now, I've got the bottom of a bottle of port here. Let's go back to yours and have a sing-song.
Appearing with Count Arthur Strong were Mel Gedroych, Alistair Kerr, Dave Manfield and Kate Van Dyke as Mrs. Strong. The script was written by Steve Delaney and edited by Graham Duff. Count Arthur Strong's radio show was recorded live at Comedia Bath, is produced by John Leonard and Mark Ratcliffe and is a joint Comedia Entertainment and Smooth Operations production.